Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Can we do this tomorrow?
It's a hard night.
No. It is a hard. Well, I guess we're going now.
We're off and running.
It's a hard night's life. Lanny, I thought you didn't want to do it tonight. Oh, it's
a hard night's. At this point, quarter after 10.
How are you doing? It's a
hard night's life. I'm exhausted.
How many hours did you work today? Six?
It is a hard night's
life. Actual work. No shitting, not counting the shits. But really, you can't figure out how many hours you work today? Estimation. How many hours do you work in a given day?
Teaching-wise?
Well, what other work do you do?
How many jobs you have?
It's like 2 hours. I think that is.
You spend 2 hours working each day?
No, that can't be right. No. 40,
60. Nah, we'll
200.
Give you.
No, it's three and a half hours actually teaching.
Yeah, we'll give you when you get there and when you leave.
Oh, well, that's not what he said. He said no.
The other minutes that you're not teaching, you're literally doing nothing. You're not reading papers.
No, but you said we're talking about 7:30 to 3:20. That's when I'm there.
Still pretty cush.
What up, Knicks fans? And I hope you all enjoyed that. A little insight into Blandy, who wanted to delay the taping of this till tomorrow. Too tired, still recovering from a concert he went to on Sunday night.
Yep.
It's 2 days later?
Yeah. But listen, it was 4 hours of sleep that night. It was rough.
That's what I do every time we do this show, Blandy.
Well,
every time.
You're built for that. I'm not built for that.
What up, Knicks fans? And what is up, Barry motherfucking D?
What is up, Craig?
And good day to Jay, a.k.a. Blanderson Hooper.
Good day to you as well, Craig.
Remember, wherever you guys listen to the show, or girls, we've got at least one or two girls that listen. Can we call them girls, Barry?
No.
Ladies.
No,
ladies. Women.
Probably all different kinds of people, not even just men and ladies.
That's right.
Where's this fucking going? if you fucking listen to our show and you like it, leave us some ratings and reviews wherever you listen. And Barry, you wanted to give everyone a message at the start of the show.
Well, that's right. We always give our phone number at the end of the show. But I want to remind people, you could give us a call, 516-33-MESH-1. Obviously, your call is not going to get into this show. But if you want to tag on to anything that we're talking about or you hear in this episode, leave us a voicemail and we'll obviously address it next week. That's all.
Maybe.
Maybe.
No, I mean, obviously, we probably will. We don't get that many fucking voicemails.
I mean, what else do we have to talk about?
You're right. We need you to help us fill out this show. I mean, we're going to stretch nothing into something tonight.
That's right. Even the Knicks are having meaningless, you know, parades on social media and YouTube for no reason at all.
You mean talking about RJ Barrett?
Yeah.
Well, that's what this episode's going to fucking be like.
Great.
We're going to spend an episode talking about that.
I mean, not much.
That's how bad it is. And please, subscribe to the one podcast that feels absolutely disgusting right now.
What's that?
I feel gross.
Uh-oh.
Am I the only one?
Maybe.
Is this a crap story?
You, you guys don't feel disgusting with yourselves?
No.
An evening with RJ Barrett? just weeks after his name was being tossed around in trade rumors. And now we're just all going to spend an evening with him like nothing happened. We're not going to talk about it. And we're going back to bed with him like it's nothing. You guys don't feel gross about this?
Nope.
No.
You're just going to go back to normal?
Yeah, I mean, I think we could have addressed it a little bit, you know, while we had him there, get it out off our chest into the open, you know.
No.
Not pretend like it didn't happen.
There was that's what I feel. That's why I feel gross. Mm. Got to address it a little. Don't you have to say something? Anyway, we're going to get to all of that. What, Blandy?
They're not going to do that.
Why not? It's going to happen in a couple of weeks anyway.
All right, we'll get into it. All right, if you haven't gotten a chance to listen to the RJ Not a Press Conference, we're going to share some of our favorite clips, some of our favorite horribly boring clips. Well, we're going to play them all for you. All right?
All right, no newsworthy clips.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to be honest. I didn't even know an evening with RJ Barrett happened until this morning. All right?
Right. The only thing more boring than RJ Barrett highlights are RJ Barrett sound bites.
But that doesn't mean you shouldn't listen to the rest of the show, because we're going to make it fun, I hope. And if not, whatever. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports, contests, and events with first-to-market odds and lines. And by the way, guys, this is, so you don't fucking question me in the middle of this, it is the most recent script. Okay. Is that the sound you got for me?
I got something else too.
You got some other fun stuff?
Yeah, sure.
You can find reviews and news for every league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, the NHL, combat sports, esports, and yes, even golf. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all your sports info, from live in-game betting, props, and futures. Head on over to BetOnline today. Use your little mobile device to join and make your first sports bet. Use our promo code BLEAV50. Where are the fucking sound clips?
Well, you're talking. Okay. I don't want it to drown you out.
Let him go. Use promo code BLEAV50 to get your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online where the game starts. What? It's not a casino. I asked for like money sound effects.
Well, that was it's the slot machines.
That's all you can get? Slot machines?
Well, there are things that are like 2 hours straight of just random sounds that you have to go through and figure out what everything is.
Oh, and you don't want to put in that effort.
I didn't have time for that.
Okay. Well, I was hoping for like,
what, like, I don't, like change?
Change falling from the sky. There's no like movie clips where people are saying like make it rain, or they're throwing dollar bills at strippers.
I can get the show me the money.
Show me the money. Sure.
That's a good one.
Show me the money.
All right, guys. As we talked about a little bit, an evening with RJ Barrett, Monica McNutt, RJ, that huge number 9 necklace. Barry, most exciting part of that evening for you, beyond the necklace, what'd you think of Monica McNutt? We said we're gonna talk a little bit about Monica.
You said
don't you feel like that's Monica, the most ridiculous fucking name in the world?
McNutt? Monica McNutt,
and the fact that nobody McNutt,
I think it's fucking awesome. The fact like that McNutt? The M, the N, and the C make another appearance in the last name after they show up in the first name. It's a great name. Monica McNutt.
It doesn't sound like someone's like an Irish off porn or something.
Star? No.
McNutt?
No.
I'm going to McNutt nothing.
No. What?
Every time you hear Monica McNutt, you don't think of that?
About nothing?
I'm the only one?
I mean, listen, I can't say I haven't thought of it. I mean,
Barry doesn't even know. Barry looks so confused right now.
Really, Barry? You've never thought of that?
About nutting?
Yeah.
Like, that's not the first thing that comes to mind every time someone says Monica McNutt.
I think it's not the first name, thing. But I know. It really doesn't, you know.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, RJ's pretty fucking boring. But, I mean, he did say some.
We know this.
We do know this. He's the most boring player on the Knicks, maybe in the NBA. Let's play some sound. So, Blandy, can you hit number one? Hit number one. Can you play
every
number one?
Every now and then, we hear the chant that we heard as we were welcoming you in. You guys, y'all know the chant that starts with the R? Right? To have these fans in the arena chanting either that version or the shorter version, just RJ, what does that mean for you?
You know, it means a lot. They really support every game, you know. Win or lose, they're always there, you know. They have their opinions, and you know, it's good, you know. It's good to also play for, you know, just New York that actually knows about basketball, you know, that cares, and just in turn, you know, I can speak for myself, you know, I care a lot too, you know. I care. I want to help contribute to just winning and just, you know, overall great things for the Knicks.
Is there anybody who cares more than RJ Barrett? He doesn't show it, really. Or he does show. He really does show it.
Well, he can
right?
be demonstrative Barrett? On the court he sometimes, you know, when yeah. he flexes, you know?
Yeah. Or he's just like, you know, you could see he's super deep in thought and, you know. And
it's interesting how much love we all have for him when he is so fucking boring.
Yeah.
Right?
Because
he's a homegrown guy.
He's a homegrown guy. We appreciate his talent. We all see that he's like super well-rounded, and there's still potential there. I mean, he continues to get better year after year, you know? So yeah, we're still on this RJ Barrett climb, you know, in his career and his hours. And now we've got him locked up, you know, again, you know, for another few years. So yeah, I think we're all RJ stands.
He, by the way, signed a 4-year, what it can max out at $120 million with incentives. Right.
Yeah.
Do you think that that's going to slow him down at all? Like he got his money. He's not going to go at as hard.
I don't think so. He doesn't not seem like him. That kind of guy. I don't think his dad would let him do that.
Yeah. I get the sense that he's not affected by the money. Even at the press conference, he was just his normal, boring self.
It wasn't a press conference, Craig.
Oh, right. Not a press conference.
It was an evening.
Can we talk about that also?
Speaking of that, let's talk about that. I was going to save that for later, but fuck it. Let's just go into it.
No, because that became a fucking national story. It wasn't just like a New York story or New York media beat writers complaining about it. It took on a story of its own.
It does every time, though, Barry.
Yeah, it does every time. But like this time, this wasn't like an introductory press conference introducing a new player. You want to get a little upset that they didn't have media for the Jalen Brunson thing? I'll accept that. But for this was really a thing that the Knicks do all the time, like every couple of months. They do it throughout the season also, where they want to give something to season ticket holders. And this was a chance to get your picture taken with RJ. I'm sure they had people line up for that, you know, and get invited in this one-on-one, small, intimate thing. They do this all the time. You didn't need media there. Media day is going to be in a couple of weeks. That's not what it's about. This was for the ticket holders. What's kind of silly is that they felt the need to, you know, to publicize it and broadcast it on YouTube. But I guess they figured they're going to be doing this and holding this event anyway.
That's silly.
But they do this stuff all the time. Because it's a nothing thing. You're not getting anything out of it. They didn't even
absolutely
ask.
Absolutely a nothing thing.
They didn't even bring up the fact that, well, how did you feel, RJ, when your name was mentioned
we're not,
about being
you know they're not
going to
do that.
Right. And we'll hear that in a couple of weeks when the media is there. But to get upset that they weren't invited for this, again, it was like a stupid nothing thing. They'll have their chance at media day and, you know, during when the season starts.
I have no problem with these things and media not being invited. I kind of enjoy it that media mm-hmm. doesn't get invited and they get so upset.
Right. There is something
but
to
let's
that
not
too.
Fucking pretend that they're not doing this on purpose. Mm-hmm. All right. You're acting like they're doing this for the fans and they're purposely not hold. They don't hold any press conferences ever when anything big happens and they don't hold them to just, I don't know, for Leon to fill anyone in on what's going on. They don't hold them when someone signed. They don't hold them. They would not, if they got Donovan Mitchell, they would not have held one. They would have done this. Honestly, this was probably an evening with a blank on whatever date this was, and they were just going to fill in whoever it was. All right?
Right.
They would do the same thing. That's what they do. That's what they've been doing for the past few years, and the media gets upset. Stefan Bondi. Is that his name? Stefan Bondi. Berman, Bagley, Chris Mannix, everyone's going to get upset about it, saying that like Dolan is like Trump when Trump went in to do press conferences and the fan, like they were blaming the fans recently about this. Chris Mannix, I think, said that some of this is on the fans for not demanding more.
Yeah.
Dude, if the media represented the fans there and were asking questions for us, maybe I would care. But they represent the papers. They represent these articles that they put out just trying to get clicks, and half the time they're fucking bullshit. To me, it doesn't seem like they've got any great sources and they're just regurgitating other shit that they hear, the same stuff we all hear. I don't think the media deserves to go to any press conferences. Are they that much different than anyone else other than the fact that they get paid a living to do what they do? Are they better than Knicks Fan TV? Barry, who's a better representation of media, Stefan Bondi or Knicks Fan TV?
I mean, they're both media, but Knicks Fan TV. I mean, they're putting out more content, more coverage. Yeah, any Knicks news coming from anywhere, he's going to report it. And on top of that, that coincides with the fan base speaking their minds. So yeah, I think he's moved into a position where he is more Knicks media than any
TV reporter. It's a new age, you know? Especially the guys that just write for papers. Like, who the fuck reads these papers anymore?
Right.
Like Berman and Bondi. Maybe Begley has a little something. He does on SNY, but who else does?
Right, and half the articles that they put out are a bunch of bullshit. Like, it's really crazy. Like, midseason, they'll take one little quote that a player says and they'll make an entire article about it. And you read through this article and there's really, like, not one iota of information that you've gained based on this article.
No, and Berman's article today was about the evening with.
Yeah.
Didn't learn anything extra. It was the same shit. But I guess the one question you would have wanted to hear asked was, hey, RJ, how does it feel to have your name in those Donovan Mitchell trade rumors? And is that going to bother you at all? Does that bother
right,
you at all?
Which is a fair question. It's probably a question that, you know, we're all wondering. Not that we expect it to change how he puts his, you know, best foot forward and how he prepares for the season and all that shit. But it's still something you want to, you have to ask. And again, the media will get their chance.
Honestly, I wish they just fucking asked the question. Like, it's not a secret. Everyone in that audience knows about it. Monica McNutt, even McNutt knows about it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess McNutt, the whole thing is...
McNutt, who was holding that whole thing together, by the way.
Yeah, but I guess you know, the whole thing is keeping it light. You know, she's
trying to be playful. Yeah, I mean, she works for the network. She's not going to ask that. That's right.
That's not what that evening was about.
No, it was about just using RJ.
Pretty
fucking
much.
Him.
That's right.
All right, Blandy, play clip number two.
Oh, man. That game winner against Boston in January. I remember us in the studio, right?
It did take me right back to that night.
I mean, the arena went off. We went off in studio, and obviously you hit that shot.
Take me through
the last 30 seconds or so of that ball game, if you remember it.
Well, okay, so this hasn't been told before.
Ooh.
I actually didn't even know I was in the game. So
yes, grizzly old man at 22. You forgot you were in the game.
We come to the timeout. I think we were doing like a defense offense thing. So I don't know. I automatically thought I was subbing out. So, you know, I'm not even paying attention to the play or what's going on. But so four guys go out on the court now, timeout's done, and then Coach Tibbs is just like, RJ, get in there. I'm like, what? What's happening? Like, and then, but, you know, we practiced the play a bunch, so I kind of knew it from memory. And then, you know, just, you know, God bless me, and I was able to make the shot.
It was, right? It was, did you know it was good when you let it go? Because sometimes when you've practiced something and you're in that moment, there's just that confidence that comes from the bottom of your feet to the top of your head.
Honestly, I think Jason actually helped me make the shot with his contest, made me shoot it a little higher, so I had a better chance to go in.
There you go. Well, it went in, and it was certainly a memorable moment for all of us. All right.
Did you watch a video clip of that moment after he said that?
I didn't, but I've seen it so many times, and I mean,
you saw what he was doing during the timeout.
Oh, beforehand? No, I didn't watch that. I remember afterwards when he's like just like in the zone, everybody's crowding around him, but I didn't rewatch before.
It was pretty good though, because you saw RJ, basically Tibbs is talking to the other guys, and RJ is just off to the side, like Randall does.
Oh,
most
so it's just
time.
Like what he said.
And he's not paying attention. He's laughing with some other guys, and Tibbs is telling everyone what play they're gonna run, and everyone else is paying attention.
That's great.
And then they all break out of the huddle, and then you see RJ stay back with Tibbs to, and he's right, he's drawing up the play just for him, just as they're going on the floor, and then he hit that fucking game winner. That's a great story.
Yeah, that's a good tid. That's a good little nugget.
That's how fucking cool and collected RJ is, right? Or how even keeled he is. He had no idea he was in the game. It didn't phase him. Then he went out and hit the biggest shot of his life 2 seconds later. All right, Blandy, play clip number 3.
Here we go.
We joke, but you are a veteran core of this team, even at 22. So how do you grow as a leader?
As a leader, just being able to, you know, one, do the things on the court that I'm supposed to do. So my continued development, but then also be able to, you know, use my voice a little more now and, you know, share things that, you know, I see, or someone share things that they see with me, and be able to kind of work there, as well as, you know, especially in practices and in the games, try to, you know, help lift the spirit of the team, you know, help get us going, help, you know, make sure that we're motivated and stuff like that. Because oftentimes the team who comes out ready, you know, normally wins the game.
All right, Blandy, before you fall asleep, who's going to be the leader on this team this year? Is it RJ?
No. I mean, I think obviously the longer he's there, the more people in the room are going to listen to him. But I mean, honestly, I think it's probably Randall. What? Don't you?
Julius Randall?
Don't you think Julius so?
I think it's going to be like a 3-man tug of war to see who's going to rise to take the reins of this team between Randall and RJ and Brunson, because Randall was the one that's had to do it before. You know, he's probably the most respected on the team still, even after what we saw last year. And he's the one most used to being in that role.
Yeah.
But we saw him drop the ball a bunch last year where he didn't act like a leader. And now, again, with the extension, with everybody in RJ's ear, and I'm sure the front office, along with Tibbs, you know, kind of guiding him, pushing him that way. Look, you got to lead. You know, Monica was doing an interview. Are you going to be a leader? All that stuff's going to play a role in him, you know, kind of feeling his oats and getting into that position. And then you got Brunson, who's going to be the floor general out there as well, you know, who's going to, you know, want to try to take this team, you know, under his wings. So I think it's going to be those three guys. We'll see what happens this season. And I mean, I think it'll be pretty visible, especially as you get late in games, who's calling everybody into the huddle, who's taking lead of that conversation. You know, you see it all the time. It used to be Randall was the one that did it. And we'll see what happens this year.
It's going to be interesting. Yeah, well, like these three guys are so different, you know, and I think they'll lead in totally different ways. You got RJ, who's kind of like a, at least from what it seems, a quiet leader, right? Leads maybe by example or just by his attitude on the court and his body language. Got Julius, who you haven't gotten the sense that he's a loud leader, but he last year he led in all these negative ways, things that a leader can't fucking do. I don't know if he's a leader the way he acted last year. I don't know if he can be, even though he is very respected because of his game. And then Jalen, it's natural for him to be a leader on the team because he's, like you said, the floor general, but he's brand new to the team. And can he really take that role away from Julius or RJ? If I can see anyone calling everyone into a huddle on the court of those three, it's Jalen Brunson.
Right. The other thing too, is, you know, when you're a coach's son, I think that carries a lot of weight. And when you grow up, you know, with a coach as your dad, I think you just automatically assume a lot of those personality traits that your dad has. So I think that's going to make it a lot easier for him to be that way too.
Yeah, I would say him. I mean, because Julius and RJ, they're like imperfect leaders. Seems like Jalen is outgoing enough and he's going to have the ball in his hands. And honestly, I don't think he's going to care that he's the new guy. He wanted that spotlight. He wants the spotlight. He wanted to get out of Luka's shadow, apparently, which, I don't know, it's pretty ballsy if you want to get out of there to be out of the shadow of one of the best players in the game, like top 3 players in the game. Blandy, hit number 4.
What do you expect Jalen to bring to the team? What have you guys had an opportunity to work on?
Yeah, Jalen's great. You know, Jalen's great. He's really smart. He's really smart. He's a really hard worker. He works on his game a lot. So I think with that, and he has natural leadership ability too, just, you know, being around him, guys gravitate towards him as well. So just, I think him and I work together very well, especially as being lefties. That'll be very good. So yeah.
excited to see what you guys look like as a duo of leaders. And of course, scorers. We got to get some buckets as well.
Does that matter that we've got too many lefties on the team? People always talk about that. Does that fucking matter?
It doesn't matter if you're good going to the right as you are to the left, but I mean, it could create some spacing issues.
Well, I don't get the whole thing. Barry, can you explain it to me?
No, I mean, I get it in baseball when you're setting up a lineup. I don't understand how that helps their game.
Are they all supposed to be like, when everyone's right-handed, people aren't like, oh my God, it's a team of righties. No. Out there. Never. Why is it a problem if half the team is lefties? Like, I don't get it. I feel like everyone's supposed to be able to play with both hands.
It's just something to talk about.
Is that all it is? I don't get it anytime people talk about it.
It's just something to talk about.
But RJ said it's exciting to him that he's going to have a lefty. He's playing with a lefty point guard. I guess because he's usually playing with a righty. So it's different.
So he understands where Jalen's coming from. He can anticipate what Jalen's going to do because he too is a lefty. Come on. If Mark Berman was there, he would have asked the follow up to that. We would know.
If we were there, we'd ask that hard question. Excuse me, RJ. Is this just all bullshit? The whole lefty, lefty, lefty thing. We're going to have three lefties in our starting lineup. And according to many people in the NBA, that's a fucking problem. To have Julius, RJ, and Brunson all playing together. All lefties. Can it be, for the same reason, can it be like a strength that the other team, they're not going to know what to do? They never play against all lefties? It's such fucking ridiculous.
I mean, you're right. It really shouldn't matter. It's just one of those things that people bring up. Because there's so few. To have three in one starting five is, you know...
The other team's not going to know what to do with themselves.
What's the most lefties to have ever been in the starting lineup together in the history of the
four,
NBA?
Four. 1986. No, yeah, 1986 to, Atlanta.
No, that's not true.
No?
No, I looked it up before, actually.
No, you didn't.
Oh, really?
I did. Look at Blanderson, Hooper.
He's full of shit.
In the 1943-44 season.
You can't tell?
The Atlanta Blue Sox actually had... all five of their starting lineup.
And how many games did they win?
They won, I think, 12.
And what was the nickname that they created for that?
How many games a season did they play back then?
Back then? What did I say? In what year did I say?
1944?
I think it was like a 50-game season.
So they were 12 and 38.
Yeah, 12 and 38. And...
not a good omen.
Yeah. But I got that at Basketball Reference. Mm. Maybe he just means like it's good. Like if the team goes out to dinner, he could sit next to, you know, Brunson, and he doesn't have to worry about like bumping his arm into him when they're eating their dinner because, you know, they're both using their left hand. Because that's annoying, you know.
You know what? What's interesting is after we signed Jalen, a friend of mine texted me and said, "There's never been a great lefty point guard in the NBA." Or he said, like, how many great lefty point guards have there been in the NBA? So this is
We're really talking about boxing here.
What does one thing have to do with the other?
Fucking boxing or pitching.
Can you not dribble a basketball as good if you're a left-handed?
Wait, hold on. I'm looking at the official 2021 all lefty team by Mark Stein.
There's an all lefty team?
He has an article for it.
That sounds racist.
Front court. This was 2021 where Julius had a good year.
Did you say racist?
Maybe not racist, but...
I think like handist.
Yeah, handist.
He's a handy? He's anti-hands or anti-lefty? He's a leftist.
No, he would be a rightist because he's anti-lefty. He would be a rightist.
Oh, right. Okay. Wait.
All lefty team.
Yeah, I got a list of the best left-handed players.
But if you're racist... You're anti...
Well, race has to do with skin color.
All right. So front court, Julius Randle, Domantas Sabonis, and Zion Williamson. Back court, James Harden and Ben Simmons.
Ben Simmons, this is from what year?
2021.
Ben Simmons.
Six-man Joe Inglis. All right.
You want some famous lefties in the NBA, the best lefties?
No, I think we can end this conversation. No. All right.
Nobody
Blandy,
wants
play
that.
The last clip I got there for you.
All right, as we you talk
know,
about
hold on
the
one
season,
second. You know somebody's going to call in with a voicemail, and they're going to say, "You guys are so dumb. Here's 10 reasons why it's super important to be a lefty in the NBA.
Important or bad?
Important. And why it's so important to have a lefty on your team.
I'm telling you, I think that it's
all
about
the pros versus the
they're
cons.
They're
going
to sit next to each other whenever they go out for a meal, and they're not going to bump elbows. That's what it comes down to.
That's the number one thing?
I think so. You can't underestimate how important that is when you're eating a meal like that.
Is it chemistry on the court, like high-fiving each other? Do lefties go for the high-fives with the left hand or the right hand? Because I always go with my right, but I'm righty.
I would think is that a problem? Left, right?
If you're lefty, do you...
You'd probably lead with your left hand.
But that's fucking weird if you go up against a righty, isn't it?
Yeah. Then it's like... Then you're not crossing the body. You're...
Maybe that's what it is, Barry. Can you believe what we're talking about on this show?
We spent about 20 minutes... dissecting this.
Call us at 516-33-MESH-1. Let us know.
Tell us what you
think.
Does it matter? On the basketball court. All right, here we go.
If you worked with a bunch of lefties, would it affect your job performance? I don't think so.
I live with a bunch of lefties.
And does it affect life?
I don't think so. Well, teaching stuff.
What do you mean? You're the only righty?
No, well, I mean, no, both of the boys are. Both of my kids are.
A bunch of lefties.
So have you, how do they high five you?
Actually, that's a good question. You know what? I'm going to try that tomorrow and I'll get back to you. I'll let you know.
Okay. Try that and make it
Should
really
I go wake them up
awkward.
Right now? Maybe I'll go wake one of them up and see. Just need a quick high five. I'll check tomorrow and I'll let you know how it goes. We can talk about it on next week's show.
A lineup of lefties doesn't matter.
All right, here we go. Fifth one.
All right, as we talk about the season, we know that these folks are going to show up in droves. Do you have a message for the fans this upcoming season?
To the fans, I just want to say, you know, always thankful for all your support. You know, you've been supporting me and the team and for a long time. It's great when I see fans that are like, yeah, I've been a Knicks fan since 74. And I'm like, you know what I mean? So it's great to always have you guys support. And, you know, hopefully we make you guys proud.
Love that.
Are they making fun of us?
I love that.
Is RJ mocking Knicks fans?
I don't know what that means.
What does that mean? I like it when you're like, I've been a Knicks fan since 1974. That's
he
so
just
sad.
Likes to hear that people have been a fan
so
for a really
sad.
Long time.
It sounds like he thinks we're stupid for being fans for that long.
I think he maybe well, he's maybe. Laughing because he's are. Like, I was only born in, you know, 2020 or 20.
Is he born in the 2000s? Because he must have
yeah.
been, right?
Yeah.
Fucker.
Well, Barry, what'd you think about an evening with RJ? Satisfied?
No.
No.
It's like when you are looking for a movie to watch and you pick a movie on Netflix and it's just like, eh. But you sit through the whole thing because, you know, you got nothing else planned anyway.
A boring evening with RJ Barrett.
Right. 15 minutes, in fact. Is that really an evening when it's 15 minutes exactly in length?
That's all you need. Well,
do you think something like that with any of them would be interesting? Is there anyone on the Knicks that you think would, you know, an evening with would be... that great?
Oh, that's a good question.
The great personalities, like Quickly's got a great personality. Obi's got a great personality. Mitch is fun, but no. None of them would be a great evening. I mean, not when it's in that format. If we're just
you wouldn't
want
to do more of these?
Oh, my God. No.
Maybe with some. There's no one else. If you could pick one player to have an evening with, who would it be? It's got to be Mitch.
Look, if Mitchell Robinson is hosting it, fine. Sign me up.
That would be something.
There you go.
Sure.
Let
can we get
the interview.
If just Mitch's block show just needs to do the next one of these?
That's right, the block party.
I actually, if I had to pick one person who I want to get something out of, just to hear what they talk, to hear what they have to say, I think it's Julius. I would love to know where his head is at.
I think that has the possibility of going south real quick, though.
He recently came out of hiding on Instagram. You see those videos?
I saw the videos of him training in the Bahamas.
A lot of running. He is ripped.
You know, he's trying to, he's got to kind of create this new narrative, this turnaround narrative for himself. So hopefully.
Has anyone ever won the Most Improved Player Award twice in 3 years? Did he win it?
He did, right?
I don't remember, did he?
Man, how long ago?
Fucking
2 years
has the most uninformed fucking Knicks podcast. Did he win it?
Yes, 2021.
Yeah.
He's going for it again.
13-all NBA, most improved player.
Mm-hmm. Watch him. He's going to retire with like 5 most improved player awards.
Every other year. That's right. That makes sense.
That's his goal. All right, guys. One tiny rumor to talk about. I don't even want to fucking talk about it, but.
Oh, excuse me.
Let's sneak it in here.
Okay.
The Knicks are one of 4 teams, rumor has it, interested in trading for Bogdanović from Utah.
So not
averaged
Bogdan.
18 points a game last year.
Bojan.
What?
Not Bogdan.
Is it Bogdan? Is that how you say it?
That's the other one.
That's the one on the Hawks. Him we're talking about.
This is Bojan.
No, the Jazz.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
I think it's pronounced Bojan. Bojan.
That's why I didn't say his first name, to be honest. I wasn't 100% sure on the J Bojan. Pronunciation. Mm. Bojan? Bojan? Is it Bojan?
It's Bojan.
I don't think so, no.
Well, I don't know why we're in this rumor. I feel like there's no shot in hell we're trading with the Utah Jazz.
I get it right now from the Lakers standpoint because they need shooting around LeBron. I get it with Dallas because they want to bolster their offense. I get it with Phoenix because, you know, obviously they fell short last year big time. I don't see how the Knicks play into this, especially if we still have Fournier in our roster.
You're going to give up a draft pick? Utah wants a draft pick.
He's 33 years old. Why would you want that?
Doesn't make sense to me, to be honest with you.
There's no shot in hell. Why would we deal with Danny Ainge to get Bogdanović?
No.
Why would we open up that can of worms? Honestly, I wouldn't talk to Danny Ainge about a deal ever again. Because in my opinion, I feel like we just got used.
And who are you trading for him?
A first-round pick. That's what they want.
Why would we do that? No, I'm sorry. You don't trade a first-round pick for a 33-year-old guy.
Not the position the Knicks are in.
Could you imagine
we didn't get Donovan
Mitchell because we wouldn't give up an extra first-round pick, and then we go and give it up for Bogdanović?
It didn't make sense that we gave up a first-round pick for 22-year-old Cam Reddish. Why would we give up a first-round pick for a 33-year-old Bogdanović?
All right, y'all hear that music. Oh. It is time for the news with Blanderson Hooper. Blandy, do you have news tonight?
What?
Okay. Is that a no? Do you have news tonight?
Oh, yeah, no, I do. I have some.
All right, it is time for it.
I just wasn't ready.
You're just killing time to get your background up? Is that what was going on there?
No,
We spent 20 minutes talking about the importance of, or non-importance of being a lefty, and we spent about 2 minutes on the Bogdanović trade.
Well, how much do we want to talk? It's bullshit.
Bullshit.
Okay, here we go. Starting things off with something that you guys might be interested in watching. Netflix today dropped the very first trailer for their documentary called The Redeem Team. It's a documentary on the 2008 men's basketball team. It streams on October 7th, I think. There are interviews with LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, Carmelo Anthony. There's actually a bunch of vintage footage of Kobe Bryant, too, from behind the scenes from back then. So that looks pretty interesting. It's just about, you know, everything that they went through as they tried to make up for the embarrassment of 2004 when they won the bronze medal. Did either one of you see the trailer or no?
No.
No.
I have not.
Yeah, it just came out today. It looks like good stuff. You know, interviews with Coach K and Allen Iverson and a whole bunch of people that were on that team as well as the team in 2004.
Who was on that team again? Do you have the list?
The 2008 one?
Yes.
I know LeBron, Dwayne Wade, Carmelo Anthony, Kobe Bryant. Let's see, Redeem.
I saw some social media message or
Jason Kidd
saying that Carmelo was like the biggest personality in the whole thing or hilarious.
Carlos Boozer,
if there's one
Jason
reason to watch,
Kidd.
Maybe it's that.
Darren Williams, Michael Redd, Dwight Howard, Chris Bosh, Chris Paul, Tayshaun Prince. It's an interesting team. There's a bunch of guys on there that you wouldn't think would
It's top heavy. With great.
Yeah, but I guess the whole point of this team was to make it more well-rounded than the 2004 team. That's why you got somebody like Tayshaun Prince on there for his D and somebody like Michael Redd for his three-point shooting, that sort of thing. So you got that. It looks good, so check it out if you get a chance. The NBA announced that there will be a significant jump in the salary cap, not for this coming year, but for the next season. Cap is supposed to go up about 8.5%. So the cap will be about $134 million, which is about $10 million more than what it is right now. And really the two biggest stories, Anthony Edwards over the weekend posted a video on Instagram. I don't know if you guys saw that.
You got it?
Yep.
What?
You got the sound?
No, because I don't want to play. I didn't want to play that. He's, you know.
Why not? Play that shit.
What?
Of course, people need to hear what he said.
He said he made some homophobic remarks. That's what he said. I don't think we need to play that stuff. Why should we give a platform to that? So he posted an apology saying...
Can you read out what he said?
You want me to say out loud the homophobic comment that he said?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's not happening.
Shout it to me. I'll say it.
What?
But I think people might not know the story. I want to know what he fucking said. What did he say? Can you just type it in the chat? Are you against that? You're a newsman. You got to say it sometimes.
No, I don't think I don't think it's necessary.
Fucking Christ.
You want to Google it, you can Google it. But he was mocking some people that he saw.
Landers is protecting his job here. Like, there's going to be like somebody from like three. Like, there's somebody that's going to come down and say, I can't believe
Google
that.
Anthony Edwards gay slurs
you're off
right
the
now.
Hard Knicks Life podcast.
It has nothing to do with that. It's
there's not like a general
like,
manager.
He said some
of this
stuff
podcast.
That wasn't. They were hurtful, homophobic comments. There's no reason to repeat them. I consider myself to be an ally of the LGBTQIA plus community. And so therefore, there's no reason to give any weight to those comments by repeating them.
All right, respect.
So what do you think about that?
I disagree with it entirely. I think people need to know what was said so they know how
just
shocking and horrible
it is. Just know he said some stuff about some people that he saw on the side, like on the sidewalk, all right? He apologized and said what I said was immature, hurtful, and disrespectful, and I'm incredibly sorry. It's unacceptable for me or anyone to use that language in such a hurtful way. There's no excuse for it at all. I was raised better than that. The NBA is looking into it, and the Timberwolves put out a statement saying that they were very disappointed in his language and his actions.
And what'd you think about his apology?
What do you want him to do? I thought it was fine.
He said he was sorry.
It was an apology, like, the next morning, and when you hear the clip, it's not, it sounds like it's just a part of him.
Right.
It was so natural, all right? Right.
Listen, that's one of those things
and
where
it's something that he
time.
Would say. Listen, he's 21 years old. He's a kid, so I'm not going to like hold him to the fire, but I don't really believe that he thought it was wrong.
It's more of an apology because you got caught than an apology for what you said, which is what happens a lot of times.
Wish I knew what he said, but all right.
Well, you can Google it, as could anyone here. So,
it's just crazy that it didn't come out like somebody was filming it and picked up on it. It came out on his own fucking social media. Like,
I know.
On his own Instagram.
Like, just goes to show you like how clueless
that's
you got to be that to say it and then to and
that's
then
the
to put it up there.
Part.
So it was a group of like sexily dressed men, I would say.
What? How were they dressed?
Sexily? Is that a word?
Sexily?
Is that a word?
I finally found the fucking quote after fucking Googling for the past 5 minutes. Anthony, you could just hear Anthony Edwards' voice. Sexily?
It's an adverb.
Sure.
He started talking sexily to her while they danced.
Yeah, they were dressed sexily, these men.
Okay.
Anthony Edwards was in a car with the window rolled down, looking at this group of sexily dressed men. I quote, and I in no way support these words. Whoop, shit. And for House of the Dragon just came up. Look at these queer ass N-words, man.
Oh.
Mm. Yeah, look at what the world done came to, bruh. Yeah, I went to I don't know if I should talk about this.
Oh.
But I went to the world's biggest bounce house this weekend.
Okay.
It's like touring, I guess. And my kids made me go on this obstacle course that took like 10 minutes to get through. Big mistake. And so I'm like jumping and bouncing and climbing over this shit with like other kids. And there's this like group of like teenagers who were like, seem to always, at least in one section, be right up with us. And this like bigger kid, heavier kid, who's having trouble getting like under things and through things. So I was like raising things for him to go under. I was like, I got you, man. And he would go under. And then he like, at one point he like fell between a couple of these like blow up pillars. I don't know if you've seen those in like obstacle courses.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was like, he fell, he was getting frustrated. And then he looked at me and he said, what N-words are farting in here, man?
He said, what?
Where he said, what? Like, these N-words are farting in here, man. And I just looked at him and I was like, well, that wasn't this cracker, I said to him.
Is that really what you said? Man, this was a white kid that said
no,
that?
No, but I was so uncomfortable. No, he's a black kid.
Oh, all right. Whew. Holy cow.
But I was like, did I fart? I don't know. Maybe I farted. I was exerting a lot of energy getting through this fucking course.
Oh,
this kid
God.
Was so angry.
Oh, man.
But he said it to me. Whatever. Is that bad shit. To say? I'm just repeating what was said. That's it.
No, you're just telling the story. I
stuck
I
out to me.
First.
And I guess your kids were right there. Because you guys were all
My
together.
Kids were a little ahead of me. I was trying to catch up.
So,
I don't
it was
think
just
they
you
heard.
And this young kid in the bouncy house alone.
And your
there
daughter
were, no, there
repeats
were a lot of
every,
fucking people.
And your daughter oh, okay. repeats everything.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And so you got out of the bounce house and she goes up to your wife and she says, "Mommy."
No. Yeah, well, I played that video for them that you sent us, Jay, of your niece taking a bath.
Can you,
you
play
have the audio from
can
that?
You play that
audio.
Clip, by the way?
You want me to do it? Okay.
Yeah.
Hold on,
you wouldn't post it,
I'll
which
send
I still
it to
don't
my,
understand, I'll be honest.
I'll send it to my computer right
my
now.
My kids loved it. Fucking well, loved it. They were
me
dying.
Too. Whole family. I sent it to my aunt. I sent it to my mom.
Let's see.
Sent that video all over the place.
Did you?
Yes.
You sent
it a funny fucking video.
It's a naked girl in the bathtub.
Naked. She's like 3 years old.
She's 4 years old.
You don't see anything.
I saw her breasts.
Oh, her breasts? She doesn't have
she's
breasts,
four.
Craig.
Nipples.
She's four. She doesn't
I saw
have
her
breasts.
Nipples.
Oh, please.
All right, you want to hear?
Yeah. This is great. Set it up for us. Set
right,
it up,
so, last week on Saturday, my sister-in-law had a baby. So she and she and my brother were in the hospital. So my mom was
we didn't
watching
need all that backstory.
My niece.
See, wait, you said
so
she and your husband?
Yeah, she's
and that would be so. It's not bad if that was your husband.
My mom is giving my niece a bath. Because,
there you go.
You know, my brother's at the hospital with his wife.
There you go.
And so here you go.
That's all you need. It sounds
what
so bad.
What are you doing? Then you'll have to rinse your hair. Do your neck.
No, I do my neck.
Okay.
My belly button,
yeah.
My asshole.
So good.
I'll do my belly button, so then good. My asshole.
It's so good.
Yeah. My daughter was like, why did she say asshole, not butt?
Little kids, the things that little kids say.
It's terrible.
I was like, I don't know, because technically, like, you're never really actually cleaning your asshole. It is more... You don't go in the hole, do you?
No, you
do you guys
to.
Do that?
Yes, of course.
Wait, you clean inside your asshole?
Oh, I get up in there. When I'm in the shower? Of course.
Actually, I did go through a stretch of time where I did do that with a washcloth because I felt like I was not cleaning properly. Mm-hmm. But I'd say, in general,
when
I
you do
don't
that, are you standing up
asshole.
Or are you sitting down?
In the shower?
In the shower?
I sit
I'm
all the time.
Just kidding.
Oh.
You don't sit in the shower? Wait, you guys stand in the shower? For
yes.
real?
Yeah.
I have a question. Yeah. How often do you clean your face?
What do you mean, clean my face?
With soap and water.
Wash my
every
face?
Time I take
every
a shower.
Every time I shower.
I should do it more often. I should do it at night too, but I don't. I do it every
yeah,
time I
shower.
Yeah,
you're supposed to.
I clean my face with soap, I would say.
I wouldn't use soap on my face.
Oh, I do.
What do you use?
I have this special pineapple scented okay. scrub stuff that my wife purchases for me.
Wow.
I clean my
it
face
exfoliates.
With anything.
No.
With anything about maybe twice a year.
Oh my God, Craig. Get okay. the fuck out of here, dude.
No,
no way.
No, that's how I've maintained this. I don't believe in it.
Maintained what? A dirty
what?
Face?
Craig.
You're
the face...
No joke. I clean my
face. Clean. You touch your face all the time. There's
yeah, no, that's
no.
Bad.
I maybe once or twice a year. That's
what?
It.
What? You're Greg. A clean guy, though.
I guess not.
No, but like everything about him, I've always felt super clean. Because other things, I know he's meticulous with.
Hmm. And Jay, do you
even
not
almost
believe
to the
that?
Point of OCD
like...
with. Are you lying? This has got to be... No, you're full of shit.
This is the same thing you said last week, Barry. You were like, are you being serious?
No, the other thing I can believe, I can't believe this. I call bullshit.
I'm thinking about it now because I washed my face after the bounce house because it was disgusting and I felt gross. And I haven't...
And you were like, oh, where are we? September? Oh, yeah, that's probably the first time I washed my face this year.
I haven't washed it in months.
How is that possible, Craig?
There's no need to. Dirty. You're washing your face too much, guys.
Wait
you're
a
dirty,
second.
You're a dirty, dirty
you,
man.
You work out, though, which means you sweat from your face. And just rinsing it off in the shower is not enough. Even if the shampoo kind of drains
Why?
Down, it's not
What's
enough.
Happening?
You got to scrub.
What's happening?
What do you mean?
Tell me, what's stuff, happening? Stuff is happening.
Your pores what's are getting happening? All clogged.
I don't see that. Where's the this evidence of something happening? Tell
you
me.
You should be exfoliating, Craig, very often. Not just cleaning, but exfoliating.
Do you see a problem here? Aside from what maybe it's leaking into my brain, but other than that, do you see a fucking problem?
Maybe
no,
next
you're fucking
time
Brad
I see
Pitt.
You.
I see no issue whatsoever.
You think that if I started washing my face more, I would
I
suddenly...
I think you'd have a glow to you that you don't have right now.
I think you'd feel better.
Yeah.
You know, something about being clean that, you know... You exude and it gets into your mindset.
And now we just think you're dirty.
Yes.
Like I'm looking at you in a whole different light.
Not gonna
I don't
kiss
see
you
dirt.
On the cheek anymore.
I don't know. I don't see dirt. I used to go to camp with this guy and he would always have like dirt around his neck and in his cracks.
Was he heavy?
A heavier guy, yeah. You actually know him. And but I don't see that. So I just don't see
No, this is not good. That's not...
What a great show is this.
I'm glad that you didn't finish the news and bounce that ball because this is like the biggest news so far. This is bigger than the Anthony Edwards news.
I haven't even gotten to the biggest story of the day.
Yeah, the Phoenix Suns, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, another...
Can I get to it?
Yeah, go ahead.
Here we were talking about...
You
wash
my face tonight.
You should.
That would be the first time in my life I've washed my face twice in 1 week. So
that can't be. Horrible. It's just there's no way.
Or maybe twice in 1 month, I guess.
It's like, you know, when I teach the kids about colonial times, we talk about how in the 16th, 1700s people didn't wash because they thought the dirt protected them from evil spirits. We're way past that.
Is that it?
We're
trying to keep
that,
evil
Craig.
Spirits away?
I just don't see what the benefit would be.
I don't know how you don't look like you're a chimney sweep and your face isn't just
exactly. I know some exactly. people that don't shampoo their hair because they believe that like, you know, dries out.
You're not
out
supposed
or kills
to over shampoo.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Even though I do that every day.
When we're
yeah,
like
I do too,
if we, God willing, we're all still doing this show and we're like 100. And I want you to we're going to play back this episode and we're going to look at each other's skin and we're going to see that mine is the most moist. The youngest of the whole group. Because I didn't just spend my life washing my face with chemicals.
My soap has moisturizer in it.
Yeah, so your skin is depending on the moisturizer that you're fucking giving it in the soap. Mine has to create its own moisture.
Oh, you've got natural immunity for your fucking face?
See, yeah. Barry, that's why you don't use soap, because soap really dries you out. You got to use like
I use moisturizing soap.
Should be using like a cleanser.
Should be using some fucking pineapple spray, like fucking Blandy.
No, it's not spray. It's like gritty, so that way it gets in and it exfoliates your skin, takes off that the dead skin cells. It's good stuff. It smells good too. I'm telling you, that's what you should be using.
Oh man!
This but anyway,
taking some wild twists and turns.
We're talking about the N-word there. So Robert Sarver, the owner of the Phoenix Suns and the Phoenix Mercury in the WNBA has been suspended by the NBA for 1 year and fined $10 million because of an investigation that the NBA did after an article was on ESPN.com back in November of last year. There was a massive investigation that went into reports of misogynistic comments, racist comments. The NBA, this law firm that they had, went through like 80,000 documents, emails, text messages, interviewed like 320 or so people. And they found that he, on at least five occasions, used the N-word, even after being told by others, you probably shouldn't use that. He was extremely harsh with female employees, specifically pregnant female employees, cursed at people all the time, yelled at people all the time, created an environment, a work environment that was not conducive to productive work. So for 1 year, he is banned. He is not allowed to be present at the facility. Can't have anything to do with the business or basketball operations of either of the teams. They have to do a whole bunch of stuff to improve workplace, like morale and just the conditions there. The NBA is giving, I think, the entire $10 million fine to different charities that deal with race relations and stuff like that. But yeah, so 1 year. It seems that the initial response is that this was woefully inadequate. Because if you remember the whole Donald Sterling thing back in 2014, they ended up forcing him to sell the team. Of course, they had him on tape using the N-word about Magic, but still, a lot of people, from what I've been seeing, both players as well as the media are saying, it is just not like the NBA did not handle this the correct way. But yeah, he's owned the team for 18 years now. But there's specifics in here. I don't know if you
I found an article. Cameron Diaz admits she never washes her face.
And how much has she worked lately, Craig?
She's been retired.
Have you looked at the chat? Exactly. LJ was talking about this other important stuff.
Yeah. You fucking sent me four articles about how not washing your face can actually be good for your skin. Yes.
What's wrong with you?
Blandy, can you repeat everything you just said?
No.
You'll get it on the playback.
No. But yeah.
Anyway, links to these articles about how not washing your face can be good for your skin will be found in the bio below this podcast.
We should tweet those all out.
Yeah.
The best beauty trick is not washing your face. I Googled.
You can find articles supporting anything.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
I Googled.
Even one of the articles you sent me, they had an expert saying that, it was debatable.
It says here it's advisable to wash twice a day and use a gentle formula.
I saw that.
Removes impurities, deep cleans pores. Come on. No, you're going to find the majority of info is going to say you got to be washing your face.
I found an article that they recommend only washing your face if you shit on your face by accident. Other than that, you don't need to.
Oh, my God. Barry's right. You can find that article to say whatever you want on the internet. Okay.
If you shit on your face, it says you should clean it. Otherwise,
we could find an article right now that says shitting on your face is good for your skin. Craig?
You agree with that?
Yeah, I mean,
bounce houses.
I fell in the cesspool when I was a kid. I washed my whole body feverishly, including my face.
You what? What did you do?
You stop it.
Fell into a cesspool. You've heard this story.
You know the story. You've heard it a million times.
He did what?
He fell into a cesspool.
I don't remember that story.
I've told it on this show, so I'm not going to tell it again.
Oh, okay. Robert Sarver also talked about the size of his dick at some point to female employees. Stuff like that.
Oh.
Yeah. So, that's the way the basketball bounces. That news segment went way off the rails.
All right, guys, that's going to do for today's show. All right?
If we haven't lost you at this point.
Blandy
look, you can't get content like this
plan.
On any other
no.
NBA podcast, I can assure you. But this you is don't off-season think, talk.
You don't think Macri's talking about his face cleaning?
Not for 20 minutes, that's for sure. You may get a...
We
a,
should ask
you
next
may get
week.
A quip. You may get a quip.
Would you rather hear about salary cap numbers or face washing routines?
Well, this is way more...
And keep in mind, it is the off-season.
No, we'll be doing this all year long. No, it really doesn't get like this. It's not like this. All right, you can follow me at Harding Slide. You can follow Barry at Barry Dworkin. You can follow Blandy at Blandy Hooper on Twitter. And you can call us.
That's right. 516-33-MESH-1.
Call in and tell Craig how ridiculous he is for not washing his face. you know we're going to get a call from somebody who says, no, I don't wash my face either. And
I,
that's just gonna,
I feel like
that's
most
just going to make Craig dig in
me.
And make him think that what he's doing is right. When
you guys are
totally
pussies.
Wrong.
You guys are pussies washing your face every day. Every day?
Being clean?
And the biggest pussy of them all is Blandy spritzing pineapple
spray. It's not a
spritz.
It's a gel. It's like a thing you put in your hand. I'm not spritzing my face.
And your face smells like pineapple?
Yeah. It's awesome. No, you know what? Not pineapple. Grapefruit. Sorry about that. It's grapefruit. Mm. I want to make sure I'm correct. It's
I heard grapefruit. There was a pineapple incident on Labor Day with Barry.
Oh. Yeah. I stole Barry's pineapple. That sounds
Blandy like was very upset that Barry was separating his fruit from his wife's fruit on the same plate.
No, it wasn't that. I was upset at the way he was speaking to his wife. That's his wife. That's his queen. And he was just rude. He was rude.
You treat your wife like a queen, Jay?
I said that is his queen, so he should. No, I don't necessarily treat mine like one. I'm just saying he was rude to his wife. In a public setting, and it was upsetting to me.
I was being playful.
I don't think so. And I don't think your wife thought so either. She texted me later on to say thank you, actually.
Oh, is that right? You and my wife are texting each other now?
She texted me to say thank you for standing up for me.
All right, guys. This show is brought to you by betonline.ag. Until next time. What did I do? What does that signal?
Nothing. No, for Blanderson.
Oh.
Stupid. So stupid.
Throw me the money!
Oh my god.
Throw me the money!
What is going on?
That's a good one. I like that one.
Yeah, you like that one?
Until next time, it is a hard
Knicks
life. Throw me the money!
It's a hard Knicks life.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.